You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts here with you live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, myself, Greg Sussman. One more hour, old school fantasy is next.
Yep.
What's on the show today?
Oh, you got the homie, what's his name? Gene McCaffrey, wise guy, baseball. He's going to drop by. Basically, what we're going to get into today is we're going to talk about some of the things that happened in the Cactus and the Grapefruit Leagues over the weekend. But, you know, a lot of these spring training news is meaningful.
Or meaningless.
Or meaningless. And that's what we'll determine today, if this news is meaningful or meaningless. Right here, in about a little less than an hour from now. So, if you'd be so kind, you can hang around for that.
Absolutely, guys. Last night was the Oscars, and it was a fine show until the end, where it just all went nuts.
It got crazy. It got wacky.
It was wild. I mean, Warren Beatty got blamed. The Oscars got blamed. It seems like it was Price Waterhouse's fault. Because they had, like, I guess, the cards out.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Messed it up.
So I think what I read was, like, somebody from their organization just, like, they had a courier or something who probably, like, messed it up.
They didn't investigate. It was mislabeled.
The same thing happened to Ryan Braun, remember? When he had that dirty drug test. The courier messed it up.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Good point.
Yeah. You fell for that.
You know what this reminds me of? I feel like someone's going to get fired over this, right? Like, someone's obviously going to get fired.
That's sad.
And it's probably the wrong dude that's going to get fired. Right?
Normally that's how
it
goes.
So that's why, like, this poor courier that obviously lost his job with the Ryan Braun situation. Poor John Dostrowski lost his job when Tom Brady made him deflate balls.
That's so...
These poor guys are going to lose jobs.
Well, I hope they all bounce back.
Me too. So... Big ups, Moonlight. Did you ever see Moonlight? Did you go around to seeing it? No, you want to see it, Corey?
No,
You haven't got around to it.
My wife saw it this weekend.
Really? What'd you think?
I didn't get to talk to her about it yet because she watched it last night when my son and I were watching Walking Dead. But I'm very interested to see what she thought about it. And I think it's available for a few days, so I'm probably going to check it out myself.
Did she watch that stupid ass race with y'all?
Yeah, she loves NASCAR.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
A woman you watch NASCAR with together stays together.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So last night, Moonlight was the best picture of the year. People thought it was La La La, whatever. Moonlight wins best picture of the year. So who is your best player overall in 2017? Who finishes
number
one?
Who would get my Oscar?
Who finishes number one on the player radar when it is all said and done, Scotty?
Yeah, it's boring, but I think it's Mike Trout. You can make a big case for Mookie Betts. I think what will happen is we'll announce Mookie Betts as the winner. But then they say, look, Mike Trout, you know, you're the winner again.
All right.
Yeah.
Who gets the Oscar for best player?
I'm going to my Oscar for best player to Bryce Harper because he is the best player.
He's better than Mike Trout?
Yes.
It's interesting. What makes you say that? What stats do you have
it's
for
his
that?
Favorite player.
I know that.
Yeah. I don't have any stats. This is my best player.
But why?
Because when he puts it all together, he's a better player than Mike Trout, and he plays in the National League.
How could you say that? What makes you say that?
Because he's going to win the MVP, and I like him over Mike Trout.
Mike Trout wins MVPs?
Well...
Explain to yourself.
I like Bryce Harper better.
Why?
Because I do. Listen, right, the skill
so
set is the same.
Favorite player of Corey goes to Bryce Harper.
The skill set is basically the same, you know what I'm saying? So, but give me the guy I like better. Is that so hard to... What's the difference in the game? Besides one's coming off a down season.
Mike Trout's always better.
That's your opinion.
No, it's not. It's statistics.
Oh, now your opinion is a fact, like you damn Jake Seeley.
Tony, who finishes number one on the 2017 player rater?
Well, the same guy that's finished, should be number one for the last 3 years. That'd be Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers. His K per nine, over 10, some years 11. Pitching's a category, just like hitting. And Mike Trout don't steal bases anymore, so they'll both dominate four categories.
There you go. Clayton Kershaw.
I like that.
So we all separated the votes here. Split the vote a little bit with Clayton Kershaw, Michael Trout, and Bryce Harper. Interesting. All right. Who is the best actor in 2017? The player that in drafts, he's going way too high. It's an act. It's not real. It's a mirage. Corey, I'll start with you.
The dude in Colorado that don't got no job, David Dahl.
David Dahl.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah, he's
best
the best
actor.
He's the
best
actor.
I like that.
He's pretending to be a fantasy asset.
for
the role in Roto.
Doing a good job.
His role in Roto, yes.
Tony, what about you? Who is your best actor or player that is going too high?
The best player that's going too high, best actor, I've got to go and say it's Carlos Martinez. Good pitcher, St. Louis Cardinals, but the strikeouts are not there to match his record, and I think a lot of people will put balls in play, and he'll be a guy that'll be going in the sixth or seventh round and should be a double-digit round pitcher.
Okay, Carlos Martinez, who is your first pitcher off the board, Corey.
Yeah, that's tough for me to take that, but it is what it is.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Scott Angle, your best actor or the player that is going way too high is?
I think we covered it in the pre-Oscar show. I think it's going to be Jose Peraza.
Oh, in the pre-Oscar show. Yeah. In our red carpet show,
red carpet.
In our red carpet show.
The red came down the red carpet.
Right.
You know, everybody was like, why is everybody taking all these pictures of him? You know?
Why do you think Jose Peraza?
Just like, he's, you know, the guy doesn't get on base consistently. You know, he doesn't walk. The plate discipline, I think, is still going to be in question over a full season. But, you know, I think people are just overdrafting him already.
All right, already. Screaming up draft boards, as I said earlier, and overdrafting him already. Currently a top 12 second baseman off the board. Scotty, hey, which second baseman do you believe should be drafted ahead of this guy? If you're saying he's going way too early, he's not going to give you the value. He is around the 11th, 12th second baseman or so. Who do you think should be going ahead of him that's not right now?
All right, let me get my ranks here so I can tell you.
Okay? Get his rankings.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think a guy like, Kipnis right now, he has the thing. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a thing.
He's got a thing right now, so you want to watch that. But I think guys like Jonathan Scope. What's his last name?
Scope. So if you think Scope, I got him 8 rounds later.
Yeah. How crazy is that? Mm. You feel what I'm saying? Dudes like Scope, even Brandon Phillips, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. No.
No, you don't think Brandon Phillips?
No.
You'll take Scope. What about Segura? Or you got Segura more as a shortstop?
I'm going to put Segura.
Would you take Pedroia over him?
No. Would you take Javier Baez over him?
Yes.
Given the Baez, we don't know when he's
going to... I feel like they're going to find a way to get the bat in the lineup. He's too good.
Even though Joe Maddon said they're not?
Yeah, well, okay. Whatever. What about Logan? I would take Logan Forsythe over him.
Would you?
Yeah. You can't believe everything you hear.
Well, obviously, it's interesting you say you take Logan Forsythe over him, Scotty. Logan Forsythe is in our draft still available. No one's taking him.
Yeah, I might.
You haven't.
Well,
20. You've had 20 rounds.
Yeah, I have a second Logan baseman Forsythe already, though.
I'm sorry. What was
still
that?
Need a middle infield,
I just took
though.
Logan Forsythe.
Oh, you just took Logan Forsythe?
There you go.
Whatever.
Fuller will listen to the show.
19. In the 19th round, you took Logan Forsythe. Yeah, fine.
It's a good pick.
All right, sure. All right.
That is a solid job.
Tony Cincotta, what makes you, sir, the best director or, you know, the best drafter, if you will? What tools?
The best director?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because basically when I came out of my mother's womb, there was a Boston Red Sox bat there along with a abacus. And the abacus led me to a career in fantasy baseball. And then I owe it all to my mother. And I think that I understand what we need in categories. And I look at players. I take the names off of them. I just look at them as statistical categories, and I have no feeling or empathy to any of them.
Given that what you're saying, taking the names off some of these guys and just looking at stat categories, I think it's time to play Name That Player tomorrow, by the way. A little preview for tomorrow's program. A little Name That Player coming your way on Tuesday. Scotty, what makes you the best director?
I would say, you know, even though I've been doing this a long time, I'm always willing to learn. And I think, you know, it's good to combine the regular and advanced statistics along with, you know, some things you feel and hear about the game. And, you know, but I'm always willing to listen to other people I respect.
So that's why you don't listen to Corey?
No, I respect Corey. Don't start nothing. We'll be nothing.
Corey.
Yo.
What makes you, sir, the best director?
Well, obviously, I'm cut from a different cloth. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of start right there. But then when it comes to my directing skills, I know how to determine where the talent is at, and I know how to cut through the trash and find the best sources, the most reliable people to help me in my journey.
You got more sources than Scott Engel?
Yeah, I have more sources than Scott Engel.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting.
Are you aware that cream rises to the top?
I've been on this earth for 40 years and I've seen it happen all the time.
Corey,
I guess it's BS, not just from coaches but from fantasy analysts.
Corey, I was thinking about an Oscar, how to relate a best original song, right, for a feature film. And that had me thinking as I sit here watching with you, got your headset on, obviously looking at your computer into the mic. When you were drafted, right, you're in the zone.
Oh, that's good stuff. I'm glad you asked me that question, Greg.
You have like headphones on and you put some music on in the background and you're focused?
I'm on, before I do anything, I kind of try to get into a zone,
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So if I'm in a draft, like draft days, I can have a lot of anxiety on draft days, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I get emotional before a big draft, you know what I mean? And I don't know why. I don't know. I take it too seriously. But I'm always locked in. You know what I'm saying? I got the trap music going. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of giving me that bounce I need.
Right.
It's the same way as I'm coming into the studio in the morning. You know what I mean? I got my game face on. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I attack a draft. So yeah.
Tony, or when you're headed into a draft, are you just so focused? You have like music on in your background? Are you just playing into the room here?
No. No music on the background. I don't conversate though. I don't to talk to my fellow drafters. I like to watch the board, write down numbers, and just keep looking at my list. I prefer no communication during the draft.
Scotty, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with Tony. It's like you get in the zone and you zone in during the draft. You know, there's no music going on. It's whatever's on TV is not bothering me. Whatever's going on in the room doesn't bother me. I'm not interested in the conversation. I just want to focus at the task at hand.
So why you struggle making picks?
So Greg, what do you do?
So I'm actually very different than any of you guys. Like I come in the draft room, like I got my headphones on, I'm in the zone, I'm into it, and I kind of like to piss people off a little bit.
Like one of those guys.
Get under their skin. Like so, a friend of mine and I, we sit next to each other in the draft. And we commented like, "Oh, look at this player's lap." Everyone's like, "Shut the f up! Like, let me do my thing. I don't need to hear anything from you." I'm like, so
I don't think you should comment on players that's still on the board.
No, I don't say the players out loud.
Okay.
I would never say, "Oh my God, Alex Gordon's still there," for instance, right? I would never do that.
You razz people on their picks,
but exactly. I razz people on their picks. Like, how could you take Alex Gordon when there's so many other great guys left on the board?
That's a good strategy because a lot of times
it pisses people off.
And they start looking, what do they do? And they start second guessing themselves and they have doubt. You know what I mean?
That's what I do.
It's interesting because when you're at Tout Wars, you get different types of people in the room. Some guys who are totally quiet, but other people who will say things about certain picks and do that.
Now, do people wear Intel versus obviously I've never been in it. Do they because you're all sitting next to each other, right? It's a long table. Mm-hmm. And this is really for any expert draft. It doesn't matter their sport, baseball, football. Are you ever and I know you're only, Scotty looks at his teams, maybe I should ask Tony and Corey this, but you ever look at the guy next to you and be like, wow, oh crap, he's looking at second baseman here. I better go second baseman before he does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are, right? You're peeking over?
I'm taking a look, you know what I'm saying? I have to make my pick. And then especially if I'm in a room that, you know what I'm saying, where I know certain guys or something like that, I know that we might have a similar style,
so I
need to be around higher than him, so things like that. And I look for the guy that's most likely to make a mistake. You feel what I mean? I can kind of pick that guy out, you know what I'm saying? If I'm in a draft with Scott, I'm like, okay, he's the buster. He's going to make the mistake, you know what I mean? So let me make sure that I'm prepared for when he makes a mistake.
I wouldn't
jump
even
on
know
him.
Somebody, a joker like you, was even there during a draft.
Well, you would know
so
me. Well, You would know when the season was over. Scott, this is not, yeah. I'm not you in Tout Wars. When the season
That's
is over, you would know me. When the season was over, you would know me because I'd be the damn winner.
You'd be in hot air talking all that crap.
I'd be the winner.
Before the draft and being at the bottom at the end.
Tony, do you ever take a look at the people next to you and be like, oh, they're looking at second baseman. I better grab one before they do.
No, but I could see a scenario like if I needed something like that, yeah, and having to look over that. Yeah, I could see. I don't remember ever doing it, but I could see doing it.
I feel like I've done it. I feel like you, because you're
I think I'm more likely to do it in an auction than a snake draft, because in an
auction. What do you mean?
In an auction, I think I have to look at, like, okay, you know, I still need a second baseman. Who else does, you know? I think I'm more likely to do that in an auction than a snake. Later in the draft, early in the draft, like, I just want to get, like, especially in a snake, I want to get, like, the best overall players. But I think later on you have to look at, like, who has what in terms of money, especially.
I believe you're right. You're right, and you can certainly, as you go through the draft, like for in the NFL, for instance, like, all right, everyone has a quarterback except for this guy. I understand that, and it's knowing that. But I don't know. I do find myself, when you sit next to people and they're flipping through their papers here, and they're looking, all right, they're looking at the outfield. I'm like, oh, no, he needs an outfielder. I need an outfielder. I better, oh, boy. I look at this type of stuff. Maybe, I don't know. Just look at it too much doesn't matter, but I do look at it. Coming back, we got more fantasy Oscars to come. Instead of doing awards, we compare players to the movies in the best film category. We match them up next on the Roto Experts. We're back here on the Roto. Experts in the morning.
There you go.
Coming up in just a bit, we do have some NBA to get to, including what happened yesterday. Take a look at some DFS lineups today. 6 games on the Monday slate for you. Scotty will be inside the garden talking to Corey Joseph, Demar DeRozan, the Raptors, and the Knicks. Are those guys lined up on your docket?
I'll be fleshing out that later a little bit tonight.
Fleshing it out?
Yeah.
You use your hand to do that?
Yeah. This is when Corey calls me immature. You talk Dale Earnhardt Jr. was a fraud. You're a fraud, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I win chips.
You know why?
I win chips.
No, you know why?
I win chips.
Well, you haven't won a baseball chip yet.
I got to check since I did.
This is your rookie season.
I got to check since I did.
I'm not going to go into that. You and I both know.
Whose name is the check-in?
Doesn't matter.
Okay,
as
long as you know.
The one who worked to get it. Uh-huh. And I have confidence that you may be competitive this year because you're studying, but you haven't won a baseball title
I got
a
check that
yet.
Say different, Scott.
Right, and somebody else I'm helped you
bottom,
on that check.
I'm a bottom line guy, but go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, bottom in the standings guy.
No, that's
but
you.
You're a fraud. Because you
Scott,
know,
okay,
I'll
go,
tell you
please
why
tell me how
why
I'm
you're a fraud.
Please,
because
please.
You go, I go into this room, and you know, I'm gonna talk all this crap. You know what, Corey? You know what the truth is? I'm the only person that you mess with. You're scared of everybody else.
I'm not scared of
I'm
nobody.
I'm the only
Scott.
One that you mess with. The only one. The only one.
I mess with everybody, this guy. You're
you
the only one that take
air,
it. You're the only
you
one that
scared.
Take it serious.
You are scared of everybody else.
I'm not scared of nobody,
You're scared
Scott.
Of everybody else.
I ain't scared of nobody.
Sussman doesn't talk crap to everybody. Okay.
If I start
Tony,
talking crap,
Tony rips
I
everybody.
I've been Gregory
you,
for 5
you,
years,
you, you,
Scott.
And you stop because he didn't like it. You stop because he didn't
I,
like it.
No, I
if
didn't.
I didn't like it, you keep doing. It.
I didn't stop because he didn't
you
like it.
You only mess with me. You are a wuss. You're
After
a wimp.
A while, it stopped
you
bothering him, so I went on. So I
you,
said, you know what?
You
it doesn't work
wimp.
Anymore.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave it alone.
You know what? And that's the
I
difference.
I know with you, I can
that's,
always
that's
pick a fight
difference.
With you.
That's the difference. If it bothers Greg, you stop. If it bothers me, you keep going. I'm the only one that you mess with. The only one. Because everybody here, you don't mess with George. Mike Florio, when you go downstairs, he goes, after every show, he goes, oh, Corey, you're so funny.
You're a hater now.
Yeah, Corey, you're so funny. So you're not
going to
mess with him.
You're
you mess with no one on this. You are a wimp.
I mess with you,
you
Scott.
You are a wimp.
Because you act
a
like
fantasy
this.
Fantasy wimp, all Corey right. Parson.
Oh, boy. He's a hater. You're a wimp. Don't pay him no attention.
You're a wimp. Hot air. Full of hot air.
So last night, the Oscar for Best Picture.
Yes.
Yes.
Went to Moonlight. Not La La Land, as I
yes.
said.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is a player, I'll go to Tony, who is a player in the Pacific time zone that moonlights that is underrated?
That moonlights?
Yes, sir.
And is underrated in the Pacific
yes.
time zone?
Yes, sir.
That would have to be, he's not in the Pacific time zone anymore. He moved. I am going to say that would be Jock Peterson.
There you go.
Jock Peterson's a guy that came in up in L.A., had a little power, had a little speed. The speed hasn't translated to the Major League Baseball level yet. It could be a surprise if we can get him there. And, of course, he hits for some power, but the batting average is an absolute killer. So he basically doubles as a fantasy anchor at times, too.
Scott Engel, who's the player that moonlights?
I'm going to go back to Logan Forsyth. I mean, just look where Mike Florio got him in the 19th round, and this guy can hit 275 with 20 home runs. You know, he's done it already twice. And he's going to hit leadoff for the Dodgers. I like Logan Forsyth.
Corey?
This is a tough one right here, Greg, because now I got to go to the West Coast. And you know I be having beef on the West Coast, and you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that, Greg?
Sure.
I would go. Oh man, give me a 2010 guy. I wasn't prepared for this. Give me a 2010 guy and Marcus Semien.
2010 guy, Marcus Semien, Pacific Coast guy that moonlights. All right,
yeah.
There you go. Okay,
he should be better this year too.
All right, you're in on him. All
play
right.
for Oakland.
The loser, obviously, to moonlight last night was La La Land.
I'm not a musical guy.
I am.
You are?
I saw Hamilton last week, for instance.
Hamilton was good, right?
It was awesome.
I heard that's an excellent musical.
Excellent musical.
Most musicals are not like Hamilton.
Yeah, no, like, there's no like, musical like Hamilton.
I don't like musical movies.
Okay.
Yeah. No. But I wouldn't say La La Land's a loser. It's, you know, done very well.
La Loser.
Yeah.
Lost Best Picture last night. The best player that plays in La La Land that's not named Mike Trout or Clayton Kershaw is who, Scott?
The best player that plays in
La La Land.
That's not Mike Trout or Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be Corey Seager. Obviously, you know, he proved that he could be one of the top shortstops in fantasy baseball and is well worth the second round pick this year.
Okay.
Yasiel Puig. All the talent in the world has yet to fully put it together. Got some issues that he needs to work on, but pound for pound, he is a pure baseball talent.
Over Corey Seager.
I'm taking him over Corey Seager.
No, you're not. Not in your right mind are you taking him over Corey Seager.
You talking about in a draft? Or are you talking about for this purpose right here?
Well, I mean, the best player is who you think will be the best player.
Yasiel Puig, pound for pound, is a better player than Corey Seager.
Well, that seems crazy. Tony, your best player in La La Land.
I'm going to go with a guy that proclaims this year he will hit 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases.
That's a lot.
The San Diego Padres' Will Myers has made that proclamation for this season, according to the San Diego Tribune, coming off a season where he had 28 home runs, 28 stolen bases, .259 batting average. He's going to go with 40 and 40 this year, so he would be the best player if he comes through on his proclamation.
There you go. That's pretty good. San Diego, close enough to La La Land for this operation here.
Yeah.
There you go.
He might commute.
One of the big pictures from last night is a Best Picture nominee. I believe some of these actresses were nominated for Oscars, including Octavia Spencer. Hidden Figures. Did you see Hidden Figures?
No, I did not.
I know you're interested in taking your daughter to see Hidden Figures, and that was the thing.
Yeah, I probably will end up doing that all spring break time. By that time, it'd be on, you know, some kind of streaming device.
Hidden Figures.
She's not going to watch it.
So, Corey, let me ask you this.
Oh, look at this. This is, I'm sorry, Russell Wilson and Ciara at the Vanity Fair party, Scott. Go ahead. I'm listening, Greg.
What player is going far too low ADP-wise, thus is a hidden figure?
Far too low ADP-wise, thus is a hidden figure. Let's go with the guy we talked about earlier, the second baseman in Baltimore.
Jonathan Schoop.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You look at the talent that he has, the skill set, being way underdrafted when you say you got guys like Peraza going in front of him. So I think he needs a little bit more. You know how they do it in the Heisman Trophy? Like, you know, your people got to get out there and put the word out about you. I think he's a top 12 second baseman, give you a 280 average, 25 to 30 bombs. Yeah, he's going too late on draft day. He doesn't have no speed, but listen, everybody's not fast.
What about you here, Tony?
I'm not a speed.
You're not a speed guy, Corey. Tony, what about you? Who's a hated figure right now in draft season?
Who's hated?
Hidden figure.
Oh, I thought you said, I wanted to go with hated. I thought it was like, I was saying, oh, we got a movie that was hated. But, you know, the guy for me, and I'm going to stick with the theme. I've been stuck on the Pacific Coast. We've asked a lot of Pacific Coast questions. Is all the movies on the Pacific Coast?
Well, the Oscars is if they take place in Hollywood, so, yeah.
And that's where they make all the movies, too, right?
So yes,
that
sir.
All falls
yes,
in sir. Line. I'm going to go with Cole Calhoun.
Oh, good one.
That's
good one.
LA Angels, yep. Right? He's a guy that nobody ever talks about. He's, like, hidden underneath, and then all of a sudden he comes out. It's kind of like Mel Gibson these days, right? We don't bring Mel Gibson out. We let him direct the movies, but we don't put him in front of the camera.
Right.
And Cole Calhoun's that way with Mike Trout being there. But he's going to get you a chance at 20 home runs, at decent batter's 270. Cole Calhoun, he's forgotten, but not by us.
Good job. That's a good one, Tony.
That's a good job
Cole
right
Calhoun,
there.
I like that one. Scotty, who's a hidden figure?
Yeah, originally I was gonna say Danny Salazar here, you know, but you know, I think we've talked a lot about Salazar already on the program. You know, this is a guy that you know, did real good the first half of last year before he got hurt, and 2015 was very impressive. I think he can get the whip down this year and you know, be at the top of that rotation. For a very good baseball team. So I'm going to go Danny Salazar.
I thought you said you weren't going to go Danny Salazar.
Yeah, I thought I wasn't, but I am.
Okay. Danny Salazar is a hidden figure for Scott.
Easy to rattle him in the draft room.
Tony, I'll go with you first this time. I will
ignore you like
over hell or high water. Also an Academy Award nominee. Over hell or high water, I will not take this player.
Over hell or high water, I will not take Chris Sale. I think that he could end up being one of the top pitchers in the league, but I'm not going to take the chance because there are other pitchers that can pitch that early that don't have a decline in velocity, that doesn't have a decline in strikeouts, that doesn't throw a ton of innings, that doesn't have mechanics that people have worried about his career. So I will pass on Chris Sale.
Scotty, you're a hell or high water. You will not take this player.
I would probably say Andrew McCutchen. I feel like he's got to bounce back and, you know, really prove things. You know, really looks like he's declining, and you still have to take him in the third round. I'm not comfortable with it.
Corey,
I'm gonna go with Matt Harvey.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? 12, 13 round. Listen, I understand
missing a rib.
He's missing a rib. It's kind of like the most important thing to me right now. So,
didn't Marilyn Manson do that on purpose so it could serve his own purposes?
Yes, that is true.
Maybe that's what Matt Harvey's trying to do, but he's a big, rich New Yorker, so he probably doesn't have
Manson
to do that.
Matt rich.
And then Scott's in the clubhouse once a week, too, so so he doesn't have to worry about doing that. But nah, Matt Harvey for a dude that, you know, coming off this kind of injury, what I believe eight out of ten of these guys that come back from this and ends up not getting back to their normal level, he's still going in that 12-13 range with some good pitchers going behind him. So Matt Harvey not going to be in the fantasy executive clubhouses.
That.
Final.
I don't understand that.
What's not to understand about that?
You're missing an organ, and you made out okay.
Amy Adams was the star of this Oscar-nominated film, Arrival.
I didn't see that either.
I saw it. Scott, what prospects should we expect to make the biggest Arrival in 2017?
I'm going to say Andrew Benedetti of the Boston Red Sox. You know, they're very, very high on him. This guy's got a real natural swing, jumped right into the fray last year. I think I would definitely want him as a fantasy outfielder.
What? He debuted last year, so I don't know if that really counts.
Yeah, but like, who's going?
He's considered. Know. He's on a lot of top prospect lists.
Is Benintendi count? I don't know. I don't know if Benintendi counts. Corey Parson. What prospects do we expect to arrive in 2017?
When you say prospect, I can't go with my man Eric Thames.
No, Eric Thames is like 30.
He already played in the majors.
I played in the majors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. He's back now. Prospect. I would say Alex Reyes, but he's not going to make an arrival either.
Go to
Tony first and then come back to me.
Okay. Tony, what prospect do you think arrives in 2017?
I'm going to go with a guy on the West Coast, stick with the theme.
Love it.
I'm going to go with a catcher. Austin Hedges is
good
a
one.
Guy in San Diego. Hit 21 home runs in Triple A last season. Can get double-digit home runs. Pick him very late in your draft. Austin Hedges.
All right. Come back to Corey Parson.
I'm going
to
go with Manuel Margot. The San Diego Padres, I think
he
is the guy that makes the arrival this season from the prospect. You know what I mean? I think we get a nice, decent batting average. He wins that job. We get a nice, decent batting average, 270 range. And I think he's the guy that can at least give you 15-15. If he's really on it, he might be able to go 20-20.
Tell you what, you like Manuel Margot. Tony likes Austin Hedges. I like Hunter Renfro.
I'm about to say you can go with Renfro.
That's three prospects there in San Diego that we're all liking. I think all of them have the ability to make a mark here in 2017.
It'll be very interesting to watch between how things work out between Margot and Janikowski.
Janikowski. Not Sebastian Janikowski, right? You have me confused there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we take a break. We come back. A little NBA talk. What happened around the association last night? We break it down for you. Next on the Road to Experts. So the return of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin at a monster night last night. Let's start out there in La La Land at the Staples Center, which went to OT. The Clippers defeated Charlotte 124-121. It was the Blake Show, 43-10, 10 of 16 from the line, while CP3 finishes with 15 points, 17 assists, and 9 rebounds. DeAndre Jordan puts up 20-19, while J.J. Redick puts up 22. The starters got it done last night for L.A.
You look at this Clippers team, and now it's going to see a change because last we saw the Austin Rivers, we would see Felton in there, and now it's all going to change going forward with Chris Paul back in the lineup. Rivers in 20 minutes in an overtime game, Felton over 12 minutes in an overtime game, and of course, Mr. Paul didn't disappoint. 17 assists first game back.
Wasn't there a story over the weekend that they might not play at the Staples Center much longer?
Well, the story was that they're trying to get Stan Kroenke to build a stadium next to Inglewood.
Yeah.
Him and Steve Ballmer get together, get the job done. That's the story.
What kind of stadium?
An arena.
To replace the Staples Center already?
No. The Lakers would stay in the Staples Center. The Clippers
right,
would move
the Clippers
out.
Would move
oh,
there.
Okay. Nah, they cool. They good. They do a good job of sharing.
You cool with that?
Then again, I don't live there, so I don't care.
You don't care.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't have to pay for it.
Hey, Tony, season-long leagues, can Austin Rivers be dropped?
Yeah, he can be dropped. I wouldn't drop him unless you had to pick somebody up because Chris Paul's had a couple injuries there. I'd hate to drop him because I thought he played pretty good at the end, too. But there's no way he's not going to get off playing time.
All right, fair enough. Over to Charlotte. They were led by 34 from Kemba Walker, 31-8, including 8 three-pointers from Nick Batum, 16-5 for Frank Kaminsky off the bench, Jeremy Lamb in 19-6.
Frankie Kaminsky, is that everybody's fantasy darling? Like, everybody goes crazy every time this guy gets to play. And he usually doesn't deliver for fantasy owners, but last night, 16 points on 5 of 13 shooting. Of course, good shooter from the outside there. But Nicholas Batum is the story, as he is much of the time, but he delivered last night. How about Lamb? 19 points last night on on, what was it, 5 of 10 shooting.
Yeah, good night for him. Now, you said you wouldn't necessarily drop. You could drive Austin Rivers. You don't need to. But would you make the drop for Corey Joseph? Joseph and the Raptors win 112 to 106. Now, Kyle Lowry has a wrist injury. It's not a one-day thing, Dwayne Gacy said. Would you drop Austin Rivers for Corey Joseph?
Yeah.
You make
that absolutely.
Move.
Now, the first game, first game back, the first game that Joseph started, he was a disappointment. But I think we've seen enough of this guy over his career to know this guy could play. 14-6, 6 of 12 shooting, get 33 minutes of play. DeMar DeRozan's really going to take off without Kyle Lowry here.
There you go. I totally agree.
Yeah, I've seen Joseph when he's got the opportunity can really step up, really penetrates to the hoop.
Yeah, we have seen it. Whenever Kyle Lowry is hurt, Corey Joseph absolutely steps up. Went through his own issues earlier this year. Remember, Fred VanVleet replaced him as the backup point guard. You also had Dylan Wright, I believe, get some playing time over Corey Joseph. But Joseph has the job back. Yesterday, 14-6 in 33 minutes. DeMar DeRozan had 33-6. Serge Ibaka has been very, very good since coming over to Toronto, 18-10. Jonas Valanciunas, just 22 minutes. He's been a major concern since these trades went down.
Yeah, this is going to be this. I like this. The biggest thing on here was the Serge Ibaka, the Kyle Lowry situation with Serge Ibaka is going to help out too. I think Ibaka, who I was worried about shots, he took 15 shots in that game, so that's going to help. On the Portland side of things, though, this is a team that's absolutely desperate in the front court. Nurkic looked so good on Friday night and then so bad last night. And if he goes up and down, this is a team that's going to be a disaster, but it just means more shots for Damian Lillard. He had 20 shots in this game. He's just going to keep firing the ball.
Yeah, he is. But McCollum and Lillard firing away here. Nurkic's struggles were really frustrating. I played him last night in DFS. I survived it, but it was struggle city.
So far this season, the Raptors have swept Brooklyn, Denver, Utah, and the Lakers. Yeah.
Certainly helpful with our Portland Trailblazers.
And you wonder why.
The Thunder defeated New Orleans 118-110. OKC.
Remy Ma.
I didn't bring that up. Corey did.
2 hours ago.
Westbrook, 41-11-11 with 9 turnovers, Scotty.
29th triple-double of the season, Greg.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Can
anybody even touch him for MVP right now?
Yes.
I think so.
James Harden.
I think Harden can.
Yeah,
and Isaiah Thomas, right?
Steph Curry.
Yeah, Curry's not in the
I don't think Curry can be in the conversation. I don't think so.
As he gets healthier, he's playing excellent
stop
right
being
now.
Stop a phony homer. He's not in the conversation.
Okay.
I think Isaiah Thomas is in there. I think Harden's in the conversation also.
Yeah.
But you know, but like 9 turnovers, obviously frustrating. 2 of 8 from behind the arc. Yet 13-10 from Steven Adams. But Alex Abrines, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 35 minutes. Anything to look at, Tony?
I don't know. This is interesting because Oladipo's out, right? So when he comes back, that would take him out. But while he's out, is this going to happen? I think it could. I'm surprised with the acquisition of Dougie McDermott, too, that he got this much minutes. I think, was he hot and they just stuck with him?
Right.
I don't know. I wouldn't go running out to pick him up the waiver wire yet.
Okay. Enes Kanter is back. He had 20-9 off the bench, 24 minutes. We need to see his minutes get back up to that 30-minute range that we saw right before his injury, but certainly encouraging what he's done since he's been back.
Yeah, this he can play. He was playing so good before he got hurt. He only took 4 shots in this game. 9 shots. He took 9 shots on this one. This is a guy I would pick up if you. Hopefully, you didn't cut him. Would you have cut him if you needed the bench spot?
I guess you. I think I would have been frustrated that you heard he was going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that hand injury. I might have cut him. Honestly, I didn't have him anywhere, but I might have.
I didn't have him either, but I would have tried to hold on to this guy because this guy's. He was playing a ton before he got hurt. He was at 30 minutes a game, and if they could play these two guys here together. It would be great, but I kind of don't think that's going to be the way going forward.
Yeah, okay. I like Kanter. You know, he runs the floor very well for a guy his size, and he's always around the cylinder.
Guys, if New Orleans won a game,
I don't know why Gibson didn't start.
I don't know why. I think he will at some point over Sabonis. I think he has to. I mean, there's a difference. He's been 8 minutes, but Sabonis only played 8 minutes in this one. Taj Gibson's at 21. Guys, has New Orleans won a game since the trade?
No, they haven't.
No.
No. And that now Cousins is going to miss a game, too.
What's wrong with him?
With the technical. Oh, yeah,
another technical.
Yeah.
He got another technical.
Another technical, last night?
He's going to
get suspended again.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And no Terrence Jones to replace him. DeMarcus Cousins, 31-10, and evidently had a technical foul. Good job, Scotty. AD, 38-7. The problem is, and we figured this out, they literally only have these two guys, and they just don't use anybody. It's killed Drew Holiday, statistically speaking, and there's nobody else on this team that does anything.
The rest of the starters scored 20 points last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. The bench is useless.
I thought it would hurt their fantasy value, and it's actually they've been better, the two of them together.
Well, I thought Cousins until last night was struggling. AD's been amazing, but I thought Cousins has struggled a little bit next to Anthony Davis for last night, obviously. No? I could be wrong about that.
The first game, let's see what we had for DeMarcus. I thought the first game he was a little light. The first game he had 12 points and 15 rebounds, and he had 3 steals in that one.
Right.
And then against Houston, he had 27-14, 5 assists and 4
blocks. So that was five steals. So that was two good games and one dud is what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I didn't think these guys would play together. And Anthony Davis having a field day.
Oh, yeah. He is loving life right now, Anthony Davis, except they don't win ever. So
that's okay. It's not that bad.
He's still getting paid.
He's still getting a big paycheck. I mean, winning's overrated.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Why, Scott?
The Wizards fell to the Jazz last night, 102-92. The Jazz were led by 30-9 Gordon Hayward. Rudy Gobert is hot, Tony. 15-20 last night.
I don't understand how this team's so good. Like they went into Washington, they beat them. They're 37-22 on the season, and you look at this roster and you say, man, this ain't a great roster by any stretch of the imagination, right? George Hill, Rodney Hood, they're good, but they're not great. Derek Favors is absolutely a shadow of what he used to be. And Rudy Gobert, just absolutely manning down the middle, 20 rebounds in a game, amazing.
Yeah, incredible. Do you think this could be a landing spot for Brandon Jennings? We did see them linked to point guards before the trade deadline.
How many guys want to go from New York to Utah?
No, nobody. I don't know. I don't know where Jennings is going.
I wouldn't go.
Yeah, we are Darren Williams.
Darren Williams. Yeah. You're there. You're Lou Williams. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know where he's. I don't know where else to go. That's my issue.
I think there'll be a lot of guys. I think there'll be a lot of teams willing to take Brandon Jennings.
Okay. All right.
Like if you look at it, you think about it, right? If Cleveland didn't get Deron Williams, they would absolutely be in that.
1,000%. 1,000%.
They would get him.
I guess you go like Golden State. Like, why not, right?
Yeah.
Win a championship.
You could pull a Corey.
No, Brandon Jennings, he probably don't need to go to the West Coast.
No West Coast for him?
If I was him, I wouldn't.
Does he got business on the West Coast? Does he have business on the West Coast?
I'm not
limited to that.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. For the Wizards, you had 23-11. 9 turnovers, though, for John Wall. 22 points for Bradley Beal has been good. And Bojan had 15 points off the bench in 33 minutes. So he's immediately taken on that 6-man role, Tom.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how many minutes he's getting. I didn't think there'd be enough minutes to go around with Beal and Otto Porter. And those two played 34 and 40 minutes. So I'm not quite sure how they're getting these guys in, but they're getting all playing time, and he's going to be now Bogdanović. If you need 3 points, pick him up.
Yep.
Yeah, off night for Otto Porter last night. Only 6 points on 3 of 9 from the field in 40 minutes.
Not a good night for him. Minutes were there, obviously. Jazz are a tough defensive team, obviously, and the pace of play very, very slow. When we come back here on the Roto Experts, we'll try to make a team for tonight. 6 games on the slate. I tried playing around with it a little earlier. It's not easy out there. We'll try to break it down for you with Tony Cincata next. Final couple minutes here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Remember, old school fantasy comes your way next. And please remember that the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package is out now. Get a full season fantasy baseball package for one low price, $29.95. Beginning with our deluxe draft package, it is your full season ticket to championship insights and advice. And it all begins like I said, with a draft package. Available right now and continuing throughout the regular season, guiding your run to a league title. It's the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. Available right now at RotoExperts.com. Use free radio when you check out, and you can get even a discount from that. Free radio at checkout. 26 games on the slate tonight. Where do we start? I don't even know.
Yeah, tonight, not easy games tonight. So when you look at it, the Golden State Warriors, Stephen Curry, an option at point guard. Yep. They're 18th in the league at covering point guard, so he is definitely in play. A lot's going to depend on what the status is of LeBron James tonight. With Kyrie Irving, if he's the only one playing, I would go back to him there as well. And then, of course, depending on where you are playing tonight, James Harden, if you're going to use him at point guard, you can use him there. Dennis Schroeder has a good matchup tonight, only $6,300 for you in tonight's action. But no really cheap guys that you can go ahead and use. If I was going to use one cheap guy, I would take a shot on Ty Lawson in tonight's game. I think he's going to get enough playing time. They played small ahead, and they've won more games than New Orleans Pelicans since that deal against Minnesota tonight. Could be an up-and-down pace. I like Ty Lawson. He's going to go cheap at the point guard.
Only cheap point guard I have is Corey Joseph. FanDuel, $4,400. No Kyle Lowry expected tonight at the Garden.
Yeah, I'll definitely be using Joseph. I actually have a dilemma tonight. It's like I want to really play daily basketball tonight because I'm going to be at the game.
And
you can take advantage of the Knicks defensively, but you know, my pregame schedule might not allow me to check enough lineup alerts. So I'm going to have to that's not a real life problem.
But, no, it's not.
I'm going to definitely try to talk to Corey Joseph tonight. And, at that price, I really like him. What do you think of Derrick Rose tonight in that game?
Without Brandon Jennings there.
By the way, Brandon Jennings is $3,800 tonight.
That doesn't help us.
What time is that Knicks game tonight?
7 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay, there we have it, Toronto. And they don't have a line on that game yet because of
Jennings.
I don't know. Oh,
Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry.
The Kyle Lowry thing, but he should definitely be out, so I don't know why they don't have a line on that.
Yeah.
But no line on that one as of yet. The two guys tonight, it's hard to argue. DeMar DeRozan, like I said, he's going to take a ton of shots without the situation there, without him having Clay Lowry. So I look at that. You got great matchup for C.J. Miles. You got great matchup for Brandon Rush. And you have a great matchup for Jaylen Brown. So all three of those guys are cheap if you wanted to pair DeMar DeRozan with one of those guys. So all three of those shooting guards are cheap.
So it's interesting because right now in my lineup, I have paired Dennis Schroeder and Corey Joseph. And at the shooting guard position, going deep, which is very rare, going very, very heavy at that spot, going with DeMar DeRozan and Giannis Antetokounmpo because there is no Chris Middleton tonight. So I like Antetokounmpo and I like Michael Beasley for that reason.
Yeah, Beasley's definitely going to come into play there. And if you have Antetokounmpo, DraftKings, it's so weird, right? So at FanDuel, he's eligible at shooting guard.
Yep.
At DraftKings, he's eligible at small forward and point guard.
So weird. And they're basically owned by the same person. Same company.
Yeah, same company. Then the small forward, Beasley, of course, you can use him there or power forward, depending on what site you're playing on. He's got a great matchup tonight. Then you have LeBron James has a great matchup if he plays. They're sixth worst in the league at covering small forwards. Jay Crowder, the Boston Celtics, they're playing the third worst team covering small forwards tonight. So he is in play. And that is it for the small forwards. I don't really like someone. If you want to save a little money, the Houston Rockets have been dishing the ball around. And Trevor Ariza, only $5,200. You could take a shot there as well.
I took a shot on him over the weekend. It worked out okay. One more small forward I got to ask you about is Robert Covington, who's seen 39 minutes back-to-back and he's offensively, he's really turned it on. Now, his price base has certainly jumped.
That's
he's at $7,100.
Yeah. Yeah, $7,300 on DraftKings, $7,100 on FanDuel. That's my only concern is the price now. He's right up there with the top players. So, yeah, I think he puts it up. But we're talking about 42 points now you're going to need.
Yeah, you need. That's a lot of points. That's the one problem.
And you know what? One guy I didn't mention is Wiggins has been on an absolute tear since Zach LaVine out there. And his price has risen a lot, too. And now it's $8,200, $8,600 on FanDuel. But he can't sleep on what he's doing right now.
No, you obviously can't. Power forward position, I'm on a FanDuel. As I said, I mentioned Michael Beasley before. Two other names coming to mind for me. It's the two guys that everyone's been using since the break. Dario Saric, of course, and Willie Cauley-Stein.
Like them both. Add Serge Ibaka to that list, too, with a good matchup tonight. So he'll be in play tonight as well.
Good call against the Knickerbockers. I like it. And then you get to the center. You can go cheap with a guy like Willie Hernan Gomez.
Love me Dwight Howard tonight.
All right.
$6,900, and there ain't many nights that I like Dwight Howard.
All right, I will put Dwight Howard in. Bing, bing, boom. You said it. Got him. All right, against Boston, obviously. Boston, known to struggle. I will get him in there. No problem, Tony. Thank you very much, sir.
What do you think of Karl Anthony Towns tonight, maybe building around him?
I don't have a problem with Karl Anthony Towns on any night. But they're fifth best at covering centers.
Yeah.
And if you look at big salaries, like I would like to get DeRozan and Harden or Antetokounmpo in my lineup. Those three guys, if I'm going to pay $10,000 for a guy tonight.
Who are the big three? Who are the ones you want in there tonight? Harden, Giannis,
Harden,
or who?
DeRozan. It.
Oh, DeRozan.
Yeah, Harden,
gotcha.
DeRozan. Yeah. I think DeRozan is going to shoot the ball 20 times tonight in that game.
All right, there you have it. DFS picks from today for all your DFS needs. Make sure you listen to the DFS Lineup Lock Show tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Benny Ricciardi, and of course, Tony Cincata will have you covered. For Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Cincata, and I'm me, Greg Sussman. This has been the Roto Experts of the Morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern time. Old School Fantasy is next. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday, and make sure you read the card right tonight. See you tomorrow.